Welcome back in. Start of hour two here at the G.I. Jake Show. Marcus and Jack alongside with me. Just touching on some quick headlines. I guess we're on the golf theme, and two of the hottest golfers in the world right now. We got Nelly Korda, won her fifth tournament in a row that she started. Pretty amazing. Her second major of the year. Also, Scottie Scheffler. Most wouldn't even believe he would even play again. Want some time off after his big Masters win the week before, but goes to Hilton Head and just dominates the field, really. A slow start in round one, but, you know, I don't know what his final score ended up. I know he was at 20 under at one point, but, four out of the last five events, he has now won, which is just crazy to think about. We're about to touch on some NBA, just some news coming across here. Recently, Tyrese Maxey for the Sixers, questionable for game two tonight. I think it's tonight. Yeah, it's tonight. Versus Knicks with some illness. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. Also, college basketball news. Former Duke guard. I can't remember what's his first name? I know his last name's Roach. What's his first name?
Jeremy Roach.
Jeremy Roach has committed to Baylor, same school that, Adu is looking at, I believe. So those are just some of your headlines to kind of where we are at this hour. We actually have a caller that's going to join us, West Coast Rusty. Rusty, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Oh, just getting the coffee going out here.
Nice.
Watching the sun come up.
Nice.
How you boys doing? What's it like without the captain around?
We don't usually have Russell on the show with us.
Jake had some stuff to tend to today. He was nice enough to let us steal his show for a couple hours. So we are enjoying our time just talking about Tennessee baseball, a little transfer portal, about to touch on the NBA. It's a good time of year. So how are things out on the West Coast for you? Did you watch the baseball?
Yeah, I got to watch all three games.
Nice.
In their entirety this weekend. It was unfortunate. I know they classified it as a hit in the seventh the other day with the runners on second, third, and two outs, but that's one that could have been fielded and thrown out.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that real quick, Rusty. I meant to say something to the group. He seemed like he was in on the grass almost, like –
He was tired. I'm wondering if he thought they were going to suicide squeeze.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of, because I feel like if he's back, that's an easy routine grounder. Continue that play, Dreiling had an easy throw. That guy couldn't run. I think it threw Dreiling off.
It did. What I think is Dreiling was intentionally throwing it to Amick, who was in foul territory,
right,
halfway between third and home, which is where you throw it when you're trying to fool the batter into running to second so you can pick him off. And Dreiling threw a shot right to Amick, which took the throw offline to home plate. I don't think anybody assumed he was running from second on that.
I couldn't even believe he was still in the game at that time.
Right.
You know,
most people didn't think he was going to play this weekend.
Right.
So I believe it was a situation where Dreiling just assumed he wasn't going to go, and then their third base coach decided to do it because he saw Dreiling wasn't coming up firing.
Right.
So it was a weird situation. So that one was disappointing, but then the rest of the weekend's great. I know there's lots of runs being scored in college baseball right now, and Friday night was kind of an anomaly to only have a 5-3 ball game, but there's really good hitters.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the SEC, there's really good hitters, and the strike zone's been reduced. It's a much smaller strike zone this year than what we've seen in previous years, because ups are being forced to use that the K zone or whatever that digital thing is. they have to go grade themselves and then report it to their superiors every weekend.
Yeah.
So they're not able to give you strikes up in the zone or off the plate a little bit on the black, so to speak. They have to be really, really cognizant themselves to mind that strike zone, which means smaller strike zone, guys are going to walk more or balls are going to be over the plate a lot more for you to Christian more the hell out of it.
Yeah, just touching on game one, that's the main one I kind of got to watch. I just had some other things going on this weekend. But it was weird the whole right at the beginning of the game, like Stamos threw 10 pitches or something like that, and they immediately went to Causey. They had first and third, one out, I believe. Do you have any rhyme or reason why that was? Like, it seems strange. I mean, were they just afraid that if they got the lead, like, we wouldn't be able to hit this guy that they had on the mound? I don't think it was injury-related because he gave the ball off to Causey when he came in, and Causey was really good. I mean, for his almost seven innings, he threw and all that. And then the other one was, did you think it was Burke, you know, had the hit, I think, at late in the game that went off the first baseman? Did you think that was the right change of call from error to hit, which extended his hit streak?
I'll start from the first part of it.
Yeah,
I think they had a plan the last two weekends right. with Stamos, which was I think he was probably maxed out. They were going to let him throw 25 pitches.
I got you.
I mean, it was basically the same thing against LSU. He threw two innings, but he had no hiccups. It was all it was smooth sailing, and they still were done. And I think because he had. First of all, I think they probably asked him when they went out the first time.
Right.
Hey, what do you feel? Do you have good movement? Where do you feel like you have your command right now? He's like, it's not perfect. And they were like, you know what? You've opened the game for us. We've got an out. We're going to go ahead and continue with our plan and go on to Causey. I'm sure they would have liked for him to give them two innings, but I don't think they were too concerned if he got into a little bit of trouble to go to Causey quickly.
Yeah.
So that was fine. Burks probably isn't a hit, and the kid for Kentucky's in the seventh that scored the two runs, that probably isn't a hit either.
Right.
But college baseball's been a little more lenient. And in college baseball, those are both hits would be my answer, I guess.
Yeah.
In MLB, I'm guessing there wouldn't be quite as much generosity, and those would both be classified as errors.
Yeah, and wrapping up my couple questions I had, just the Simo last really eight at-bats, 24 hours, what do you want to call it? Just an incredible performance. I mean, he put you on his back, and he wasn't walking out of there with the series lost. It's simple as that, and they kept pitching to him for whatever reason. And he's proven to be that senior leader. Just your overall thoughts on what Simo did over these last two games was just, especially his last, eight at-bats have been incredible.
When it's not just him, it's Burke.
Yeah.
Right now, too. Those two guys. And the crazier part is one through five, I don't know who the best hitter is.
Yeah. Who do you want to pitch to?
I don't know which one of those five. It varies who I believe is the best hitter out of those guys.
Right.
So some days I think Dreiling's got the highest ceiling. But when Burke and Moore both have started consistently letting the ball travel into the zone a little bit more, they're both hitting the ball the other way so much. Moore's first two home runs yesterday were oppos.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Burke, anytime he wants to, can spray the ball down the third baseline.
Right.
Since those two guys have started doing that, it's almost like you just can't. You have to really get lucky to get one of them out.
Yeah,
I mean they you have to get them just to make kind of like odd contact to where they just miss it by hair and it stays in play, and you get maybe a pop up, or you maybe get them to beat one in the ground. But
right,
I mean it's missing their bat is really, really difficult right now because they both started. We're just gonna if you try to stay away from us and soft toss us, we're just gonna spray it the other way, and we're gonna lift it over the fence, or we're gonna hit it for a double down the line. And if you come inside, we're gonna yank it. And Simo gave you two home runs off yesterday. where he just went out there and just popped it up and just lifted it over with a nice easy swing. Mm-hmm. And then they challenged him one time, which I heard Philly talk about it. I heard you guys talk about it. I know runners are on first and third and you're down one and you got two outs, mm-hmm. and Blake Burke's on deck.
Yeah.
And that brings up a lefty to face the righty. But to challenge Simo right there with inner half of the plate, I question that decision from the Kentucky manager, because Simo was ready and just jumped all over it.
Hey, Rusty, sticking with the baseball, I was able to catch the Sunday game, but, I mean, an incredible game, like 13-11, that's just a beautiful thing to see. But obviously, 11 points is a lot. Are you worried about the pitching, or do you think it's more that Kentucky is actually just for real? I know all of us here probably underrated them a little bit. We weren't as worried as we probably should have been, and, yeah, they showed a lot of fight. So do you think it's the pitching might be an issue, or do you think Kentucky's just that team maybe?
No, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier with I think – close to double-digit ball games are going to be kind of common in the College World Series this year. I think you're going to see some 10-9s out in Omaha. Because the strike zone reduction, I think it's going to be more common. I mean, this pitcher staff's third in the SEC and ERA and everything else, and we feel like they're really, really down this year compared to what we've been the last two or three. I think the 5-3 ball game is the one that's out of the ordinary.
Interesting.
In college baseball right now, it wasn't that long ago that they changed the bats because there was too much scoring and too much home runs, and third basemen were going to get killed playing college baseball because there was just so much velocity coming off the bat. So they changed the bats, and scoring dropped dramatically. And now with the strike zone change this offseason and it being different, now you're going to get games where runs aren't going to be at a premium. They're going to be – it's going to be commonplace for teams to score up 13-11, 14-10, 10-9, whatever. Luckily, we have an offense that will put up a bunch of runs and most days outscore. And I know Kirby gave up gave up those two home runs in the ninth, which he shouldn't have started the ninth. That was the only flaw of the weekend for Vitello. Mm-hmm. Kirby had thrown 50 pitches already. 50 pitches should probably be Kirby's limit. So what I would have done was I would have went ahead and just brought Phillips in, up four runs, needing to get you three outs in the ninth, nobody on base, and let him go work the ninth inning. That would have been the right cause. And then Kirby's line doesn't look so bad, because I think Kirby was just spent when he went back out there. I know he'd given up four runs previously to that, but in today's college baseball, if you can give up four runs spread out over like four and a third, which is what he had thrown before the ninth, then I'm okay with that. If you can get me three outs and give up four runs in a ball game where both teams are scoring because the ball's flying today, the weather's good, that type of thing, I'm okay with it. I don't worry about the pitcher staff that much. Would it be nice to get A.J. Russell back before postseason play? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because you get Russell back, and then you have another bullpen arm, whether it's Causey gives you long relief, Stamos gives you longer relief, or if you maybe have one of those guys on Sunday and then Xander's down there in your bullpen. Whatever the case may be, A.J. Russell getting back would make me feel a lot better about the pitching staff, but I still feel like this team's going to come and go, and their ceiling's going to end up being defined by – does this lineup show up every day? Because that's really what got us in 2022 when we were the best team in the country. We had a Friday and a Sunday where our lineup kind of, baseball's a game of failure where the best players on earth fail 7 out of 10 times. And every player's going to have an 0-for day. What you hope is your lineup in its entirety, everybody doesn't have their 0-for day at the same time. That's what got us when we were loaded in 20. We know how good that team was, but it's just unfortunate that everybody had kind of an off weekend at the same time. And that's what this team's going to end up succeeding or failing on, because they're loaded. That's an absolute freak show of an offensive lineup. It's better than the one in 2022, honestly.
Rusty, I'm going to switch up the sport on you real quick because we're going to be talking about it here soon ourselves. NBA basketball started off pretty strong for certain teams. Over there on the West Coast, L.A. won. And it wasn't the L.A. that the boy across the way from me wanted it to be. The Clippers took down the Mavs. At one point, they were up by 30. It was unbelievable. Crazy. A team that I think should be in the finals. Being taken care of by the Clippers was quite the shock for me. Was there a series that you saw in a game one that shocked you a little bit? I think some people were shocked that the Bucks stole game one without Giannis out there. Mm-hmm. Was there a game that shocked you a little bit?
Yeah, the OKC Pelicans game last night. Being a contest late with Zion not even playing, that one was shocking, I guess. But it ended up going the way, you know, we all kind of assumed it was. You know, I think that was the Pelicans' best chance to make that a series,
mm-hmm.
which I think getting it that close, being in the moment, being up in the last 2 minutes, and then not winning, that's gonna end up haunting you. Because I think that series probably ends up going five max now because of the way that game ended up. Everything else I kind of thought went the way it would. I think these playoffs are going to be pretty uneventful. I think we're headed for Denver, Boston. Very, very, very in short order.
Well, I'll say this. I'll give the Lakers some credit. They played really well against the Nuggets for certain points throughout the game.
Some of them did.
There were a couple games that did shock me, not just the Mavs and the Clippers, but and the Bucks and Pacers. But, to me, I thought the Knicks with the 76ers, you know, they got Embiid back. I thought, don't get me wrong, I think that Jalen Brunson is going to be a star if he's not considered a star already in this league. And without Randle, I just kind of thought, you know, hey, this will be a decent matchup, but I still felt like they were going to struggle against the 76ers. I picked the Timberwolves to win their series. Little did I think they would beat the Suns 120-95. So while I agree with you, I do think these playoffs are going to be somewhat uneventful, and we may not get a surprise. I still think the Mavs, even though they did not look good, I think can still make some noise in these playoffs. However, it some games that were blowouts, you just weren't ready for, and I still think it was a little bit of a shock in that sense.
No, I'm with you. I love that Wolves team.
I love Kat. And to me, and tell me if you agree with this take, having the two bigs, if Kat is completely Kat again and fully healthy, and you have Gobert being his usual defensive self, maybe having two bigs is how you stop Jokic.
I don't know. It's possible. It's possible that I hope we get to see that. I hope we get to see that series. That will be fun. That is interesting matchup, and Edwards could go ballistic and make it a series.
Oh, these guys thought I was crazy. I think he's already in my mind top five in the league the way he's been playing.
Edwards?
Oh yeah,
Edwards, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
There we go.
Yeah, I agree. I saw him play in person up in at Golden State earlier in the year. Dude's an absolute stud. love that kid's game. He should have came to UT instead of going to Georgia, even though I know he's right down the street from his house.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's the only thing wrong with that kid.
Well, Rusty, I appreciate you jumping on with us, buddy, giving us some baseball insights. We were three guys that kind of were in and out of the baseball this weekend, so I appreciate you watching and giving us and the listeners your insights and as always, thanks for coming on. I'm sure we'll talk to you later in the week when Jake's back. Just let us know where we can find you on Twitter or X or whatever.
@West Coast Rusty on Twitter, or you can our group Twitter Spaces page, which is at Big Orange Banter. Please give it a follow. Come listen and come join in with us when our band of yahoos is talking nonsense like we do. All you guys are always welcome to join in as guests and come over there and join with us too. We'd love to have you anytime. But thanks so much for having me on. Appreciate all you do, and we'll talk to you, I guess, Thursday.
All right, buddy. Well, yeah, thanks again, Rusty, and we'll be back. For everybody's favorite segment, Mark the Tape. Let's see what he has to say this fine Monday. Stay with us. We'll be back with you in here in a few moments.
Mark the Tape with Marcus Young.
Welcome back into the G.I. Jake Show. This is normally Mark the Tape with Marcus Young, but we decided to switch things up for Mark the Tape and bring in a special guest for this segment. Marcus, do you want to touch on our special guest?
Hi, Brett.
Hello, Marcus.
So for Mark the Tape, I figured there was no...
Hopefully you're watching.
Huh?
Hopefully they're watching.
Yeah, if people are watching, you can see what we've done.
Yes.
If you're listening, I brought it to the group. I said, I think we really need to celebrate Fan Run Open the right way.
Absolutely.
And that's to bring in our champion.
Mm.
9 under. Incredible feat. And that's Tim. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's really good to be here.
I should let you sit in this chair, which would have been even better.
Sit in Jake's chair.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to put him down too much.
Yeah.
He's always had a rough weekend.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, he came in second, so he put up a valiant effort.
Well, some argued that was the first loser is second place.
It is. Which I mean, second place is much better than his wing eating showing from back in the fall.
He's not had a good run here at Fan Run recently.
He's moving up. So I think he's fourth in that, second in this. So whatever we find to do next, I mean, he's got a chance.
He has an opportunity. Or he also has an opportunity to get third to really get that completion. Have you ever been on that course before?
I have not. I've drove right past it 2 months ago and had no clue there was a golf course there. Very beautiful place.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It was fantastic. If it hadn't been for the rain at the start, it would have been a perfect outing altogether.
It was very nice. I was very surprised. My teammates, my buddies, they had never played it. They were very happy with it, would want to go back, they said. Just nice place.
I'm not even a golfer, and mm-hmm. I want to go back. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine who...
You're just going
to
go try and pick up some loops, be a caddy for anybody?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys need a caddy?
Yeah. Hey, golfer or caddy.
I know how this
here,
hole
so.
Breaks, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was just nice to even drive through it, too, because it was nothing too crazy. Besides that little start we all talked about where almost everyone flipped. But
yeah, the rain put a damper on some stuff and then made the golf the cart track a little slick in spots.
That was fun.
But, I mean, the rain went away, sun came out. It wasn't warm, but it wasn't cold. So
it was
good.
Perfect.
Well, I was going to add, like – So what was your expectations? Obviously, you want to win, but how did you feel about your team?
I knew. I mean, I was the weak link. I brought the boys in from Harriman.
Yeah.
They play weekly. I play about every decade.
Yeah.
So
now, and I also wanted to ask you because I was getting Bear was driving around and thinking I was cheating. Were you getting the same? Was Bear popping in and out of your group?
I didn't think you were, but he told me you were.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay.
Well, that was what was so funny was the people that were being accused of cheating the most were you and Jake, and no one even talked about your team. No one even told me when they said you were
flying under the radar.
Yeah, when you guys were 9, no one told me that.
Well, I know Ryan came by a few times and asked, and Bear came by, and then we saw Sam on an adjacent hole, and he asked, and he kind of laughed. I thought he was 400 through like 8 or whatever.
Right, right.
So, but. We had heard, like, we didn't know who was. We kept on hearing somebody was 500, 400.
Right, right. That was the number
which
all
was
day.
Right
yeah.
there where we were.
Yeah.
Just didn't know who it was. We ended up birdieing the last three holes, which were huge.
Yeah. So which last three holes did you end on?
1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, and 3. Okay. Yeah.
So the three, apparently somebody got the hole in one.
On,
we were teeing on three. Yeah.
Three, yeah, so the 60-yard shot.
We were teeing off on one.
Amazing hole in one.
Yeah, so we were teeing off on one when it happened. Have no clue who done it. We just heard the celebration.
Yeah, we heard the celebration from where we were, too. It was wild. It was also funny. Houston was about to make a putt, try to give us a birdie, and we could see Jake and his team right across the way. And someone hit a good shot, and we could just hear Jake go, "Great shot," like really loud, like just, you know, being Jake. And Houston just looked back and just was like, "Shut up. Like, let me do my game." It was a fantastic time around. I don't know how often we passed you guys or if we did. Did you start on the back nine?
We started on four.
Okay.
So I think you all.
Well, I got.
I never really saw you all.
I got lost because I got sucked by Bear. Bear sent me back up to the top for no reason, and I had to go find my team. But, yeah, they started on the back nine, and I just, once I finally found them, I just followed them around. But it's a really
it's
nice.
A big course. I mean, it was very.
A lot bigger than you think.
I played some par threes before in North City, and it was in the back of a subdivision, and it was nothing like this. This place had water, had elevation. It was very spaced out. It wasn't very tight either. It was spaced out.
No, I thought so, too. Was there a moment you thought maybe we could have gotten 10 under if we had a caddy, something like that? Was there ever a moment you thought about that?
There was one hole where we lift, two of them lift out on about a 10-yard putt for birdie. But if we'd had you to line the putt up a little bit better.
Thank you.
Could have been there at 10 for sure.
If you haven't seen the footage yet, which I think we're going to be compiling that soon, but there was a few moments where I pulled that flag out in perfect time for some guys. You know, I tried to help Sam out. He didn't take my advice all the time, but I did learn that there was a 52 and a 56 that day. I only knew of, like, three clubs.
The wedges. So, well, like, now caddying is different, though. Like, if you leave the flag – like, typically, if you're a caddy, like, if you left the flag in and you didn't pull it in time, it's a stroke penalty. But now,
great
you can
flag
leave the flags.
Work.
And, yeah, I mean, I saw the video. I've already seen it.
That was some great
It was a better
flag
putt
work
than flag work, but, yeah.
Well, did you feel – was there a certain part of you – like, because I know you said that you felt you were the weakest link, but was there a part of like, did you feel more confident in the putting action? Was there the
I was a much better putter than was driving. I don't know if you call it driving, nobody uses driver anyway, but just iron shots. I was horrible. I had a few.
That's my biggest fear.
We didn't use my shots at all. But they did let me go, they did let me putt first few times just so they could see the line. And I know I drained two of them.
They were using
I was on the last hole, number three, which goes to nine.
So you basically made the winning putt.
I did.
Did.
I honestly did.
Wow.
Which makes it even better.
Describe, like, were you there when we were all up at the putting green after the round? And poor Jake. Lasting memory of the whole thing was how excited he was to start the round when the rain's coming down. He's like, I wore the wrong hat. You know, I shouldn't have wore a visor. Why don't I wear a visor? My shoes are getting wet. Oh, they're $160. You know, like.
Yeah, that's what I told my buddies. I was like, that joker right there went and bought them shoes yesterday.
He was so worried about his outfit, you know.
He went and bought them on Thursday, wore them here on Friday to break them in.
Yeah.
And then got them waterlogged Saturday.
You got to appreciate Jake, though. Like, the fire he has in his belly to just want to win. Then Medley's pulling him out on the range after the fact. Like, you need to go hit some balls, man. He'll do anything that man said.
It was just perfect timing because everybody was done.
Yeah.
And his team was the last one to come up. And I tried to hide over
there. He thought he probably won.
Yeah, I was trying to, like, look but not be too at the front of the crowd just to see his reaction.
I'll be honest with you, this is, we were right in front of them and they were waiting for us to finish on our last hole, and I was the last one to get in the golf cart because I was the caddy following behind everyone else. So they started driving off, and Jake, it felt like a Cobra Kai moment for me,
because
he was standing outside his golf course and all of them were kind of surrounding behind him. He's like, so what'd you guys finish on? And I'm like, what do you want? Like, I'm not gonna. We got under six. He was like testing to find out where we were, but it felt like the villains were like surrounding me, trying to figure out what information they could gather.
Yeah,
it was crazy. I mean, look, you have Aaron Medley on there, who's a kicker. He knows accuracy like the back of his hand.
Yeah.
So you know, but it was a shame to see him. Actually, no, it wasn't a shame. It was quite beautiful to see him holding that trophy in the between you guys.
He did do a good job presenting the trophy to us. So he did get the cup for a second. It's just gonna make him try harder for next year.
Yeah, no, 100%.
So I'm surprised. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he lied today about where he's at. He's at Top Golf for the driving range right now.
Yeah, he's with
he might be at Williams Creek. I don't know.
He's with Aaron right now practicing just to get ready. I'm hoping at some point we can start engraving some names on there, maybe the year.
It'd be nice. It would be.
Or get a plaque, you know.
Well, I think Stanley Cup, you can just engrave it and just keep going down each winter, each year. It could be a beautiful cup at a certain point. I mean, it's beautiful now. I mean, the way it is.
We drank many White Claw hard seltzers out of it Saturday night.
That's what I wanted to do. I told Houston, I was like, I had a speech prepared. Like, I was going to give a whole thing, and I was going to drink from that, like, the true keg of glory. 100%.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I'm glad that, look, if it was anyone that could have won, I'm glad it was you.
I appreciate that.
I would have liked for me to have been able to hold it, too, for a little bit, but.
It was nice to win. Like, we just went out there wanting to have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, the only objective was to come one place ahead of Jake. That's what we've done.
And that's the true success right there. Yeah, I don't know. That's the true success.
Yeah, the whole day was just a success, no matter who won and lost. I mean, the station won, you know, just the amount of people. Like, I didn't know what to expect. I'm kind of behind the scenes. I think the numbers and the amount of people, and I think we're getting positive feedback from it all.
The amount that showed up with the rain.
Yeah,
I mean, I was really happy with that.
There could have been some people that just said, hey, it's going to rain. I don't want to deal with that. But no, I mean, we had a great turnout. So that was a lot of fun, and had a couple chicken biscuits. There was one moment where I had trying to be a good caddy and provide alcohol to my golfers.
Yeah.
And I was trying to throw a drink to Tucker because he was right in front of me. And he did the hand reaching thing where you're like, hey, toss it to me.
Uh-huh.
I threw it, bounced off his hand, and just started spraying everywhere. It's like, he tried to shotgun it and didn't work out very well. But
you know. Got some nice swag out of it. Got the swag bags.
Yeah.
Brett's
wearing
his shirt.
I wore my shirt today.
Got
I love this shirt.
Polos.
Yeah, everybody down here at SM put a lot of work in, time in for sure. Really appreciate that. I know everybody does. I know I enjoyed myself, even though I was falsely accused of some stuff. I mean, sorry I brought good golfers out and we got off to a hot start. I mean, is Scotty Scheffler cheating? I mean, I don't know. Like, you know.
No, don't compare yourself to Scotty Scheffler.
I don't know. Right, we were on a roll like he was for a minute. And then it was a good tactic by Jake because we fell apart after Bear came across with his air horn and Oasis playing.
Did he get you that with that
He
at
did
all?
Not get me with that.
He was targeting the studio guys.
He drove by when we were on the...
Why is he listening to Jake, though, when it comes to that? Was Jake the one? Or were you telling Bear to come over to our group, too?
I sent Bear towards you, yes. Okay. That was me.
I mean, I did hear it go off a few times. I don't know how good he got them. Yeah. I heard it go off.
Yeah, you could hear it from a distance.
I heard he got Miller one time. Maybe, I don't know.
He did say he got Miller.
Miller did not appreciate it.
Yeah, he filmed a couple of his air horn shots because you could see. I was watching him. He was holding his camera like he was hiding it, and just patiently waiting. That's impressive by him to have the patience not to blow it too early. But
yeah,
no, he was great.
Well, Tim, any final words after this championship? I mean, are you still a little hungover from it? I know you said you took a 3-hour nap.
Took a 3-hour nap. Saturday evening.
Yeah.
I mean, I was exhausted.
It's hard work winning, man.
It is. I mean, it just takes it all out of you. I mean, just seeing Jake how he was after the round, it was just
he's going to have to see that thing in your window every day.
Baby is about 10 feet from his desk on top of my desk. So
I can probably say everybody is so happy if there's one person who doesn't have that thing right now, it's probably Jake. There's no telling. He'd be buckling that in next to him in the car.
I mean, it's not going to surprise me to come in one day and it be on the ground in about 3 pieces. but, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Detective Young will be on the case, and I know who my suspect will be.
Yeah. Well, Tim, appreciate you coming in and sharing your thoughts on the tournament and your championship victory. I know we're all pretty jealous of it. I'm coming for it next year.
Shout out to Keaton, Carter, and Michael on my team. I mean, it was
there you go.
Team effort.
Absolutely.
Feels good to win.
Yeah, so are you like Stanley Cup, don't they give it to like each guy? They go spend a weekend with it with their family.
Yeah.
Like, is that plays a beat? You guys going to close down Harriman and like
parade down the street? There may be a parade. I don't know. So
the local deli
whatever. They will get to take it to their houses for a set amount of time,
awesome.
But it needed to be here on Monday.
That's awesome.
Just
Yeah.
Just for Jake to see.
If we could do a parade by Jake's house, I would rent the bus. I'll put my own money towards that bus to do that.
Yeah, oh, that'd be amazing. Well, Tim, like I said, thanks for coming in and spending a few moments with us during Marcus's segment. So that was nice of Marcus to give up his segment.
So. I mean, I wanted this from the we weren't sure if we were going to do a show today, and then like I called Brett right after he already left. I was like, we have to do this so we can get Tim on. Like, I wanted it so bad. This is all.
Yeah,
I wanted
once
today.
Tim was the winner, like it was settled. Like that was we were talking about it, but then that really etched in.
Yeah, they were like, we're definitely doing a show.
Well, exactly. I'm just glad to keep the G.I. Jake show going every day.
Yeah,
the fuel that keeps us alive.
We'll be back with the final segment of the G.I. Jake show. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. Final segment of the G.I. Jake Show. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. Appreciate Tim again for doing what we all wanted to be done right there. I think that just put a nice little cap to the fan run open. You know, Jake likes to stick it to us, so it was nice to kind of give it back a little bit. But we do appreciate Jake and how competitive he is and, you know, for giving us a spot on his show to be here right now. But for the last segment, I think we want to get into what we all really like to talk about is the NBA playoffs. A lot of good action, a lot of blowouts, not many really close games.
Heartbreak.
Heartbreak, if that's what you want to call it. But going back to Friday real quick, we did have the last set of play-in games. The Bulls lost to the Heat, 112-91. Pelicans beat the Kings.
I was shocked by
105-98. I think we were all kind of surprised by both of them. I think we all picked Bulls, maybe all picked Kings to win those games because they're playing without their guys. I mean, we don't have to go into it too much, but
well, I'd like to give Jack an opportunity to
are a Bulls guy. What were your
takeaways? Was maybe one of the most embarrassing performances I've ever seen from a team. I mean, going into it, you know, with Jimmy, you thought there wasn't that much of a chance. They'll mm-hmm. still probably win. But without him, you're like, okay, this is a real opportunity, a real shot to make the playoffs. And, you know, we're going to get destroyed by the Celtics anyway. Yep. But at least you make the playoffs. You can maybe have some home playoff games. But, oh, my, it just wasn't close the entirety of the game. They just outran us, outworked us, mm-hmm. everything. Super embarrassing. And then you hear the news this weekend that the Bulls offered DeMar 2 years, $80 million Ooh, contract
man.
That he said no to because he wanted a longer-term deal.
Man.
Now, it's just the Bulls are just mediocrity. It's just so embarrassing. DeMar, like, yeah, he said he wants to stay, but he wants a longer-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get that kind of money anywhere else, but maybe, you know, he'll be able to take that pay cut if he wants to go to an actual contending team, because mm-hmm. the Bulls just aren't it.
No.
I know they've been injured, but they're just not, and they're not trying to be. They're trying to be mediocre, and it was embarrassing. I just wanted to get that off my chest real quick. I feel bad for my boy DeMar. But yeah, he made the playoffs and unfortunately went up against your Boston Celtics, Marcus.
Yeah.
It wasn't much of a game, but tell us about it.
Well, I mean, you know, you had Tatum doing Tatum things, triple double, looked pretty good. I think there were quite a group of teams. Let me look real quick so I can get the exact number. You had two guys in the 20s with White and Tatum. Brown had 17. Porzingis had 18. Horford with 10. Hauser with 12. How did Hauser get in there with 14 minutes? You felt the starting five. I mean, Holiday only had 6 points, but didn't need it. And I think they were pretty accurate from the three all game two.
I mean, they made 22 of them.
22 out of 49, 45%.
You're not losing.
He did have 10 turnovers. You don't like to see that. He did lead in the rebounds, 44 to their 34. Six blocks, six steals. There was a moment where that, you know, I don't know if you saw the whole game, but I'm trying to remember his name. I think it's Martin.
Caleb Martin.
Yeah, came in.
Oh, yeah.
On a weird.
Oh, I did see that
play. I don't know if it was dirty, but he did a weird underneath Tatum as he was going up and kind of swept him there. And thankfully,
Tatum
got up. Why Tatum
was in, though, I don't know. There was only a minute left, and they're up 16, I think, right?
It was, yeah. But, you know.
But you did what we all expected, right? I mean, that's. I mean, the Heat coming playing off on Friday night. I mean, the second game, their third game in about 6 days, 7 days. So, I mean, they were definitely in. They were shorthanded. Not just Butler out, but Rozier's out too. So, it was always going to be an uphill battle for the Heat. Just some, I guess, real quick, some other scores. Saturday was kind of your kickoff to the first round of the playoffs. You had the Cavs beating the Magic by 14. The T-Wolves, just Anthony Edwards proving, man, I'm that dude right now. Just giving it to Durant and the Suns, almost 30-point win.
Did you see the him talking to Durant, too?
Dude, oh, you smiling. Love it. You
and
love
then
it,
you flip
yeah.
the camera over, and Durant's just smiling the whole time.
Yeah, that'll be a fun series to watch those two just go back and forth, guarding each other, things like that. Knicks 76ers, kind of an ugly game, sloppy, most of it, I felt like. Most people thought 76ers, I mean, it was a close game, end of the fourth quarter, you know, one, two possessions, you know, and the Knicks ended up just making a few more baskets down the stretch.
Josh Hart just hitting threes, which is like something he does not do, and they left him open, and he knocked them down.
Yeah,
that's
Knicks
all
got
needed.
That Villanova swag to him, don't they, with him and Brunson, just hard-nosed.
And
just
Dante Vincenzo,
I mean, those hard-nosed, they're perfect New York guys, you know, to – you know, I guess they're Philly guys, so they're kind of – what do Philly fans do? You know, those guys run the national championships for Villanova. So, then
it
the
is,
big
– I
then,
will say real quick, yeah, it is ahead. Wild that you have Maxey going for 33 and Embiid with 29 and you lose.
That is worrisome, especially Jalen Brunson having
he had
pretty,
an off night. Yeah.
Pretty bad game. And
yeah,
they were
22, 8 for 26, 1 for 3.
Yeah, he had to earn all of it.
Or 1 for 6 out of the three-point range, yeah. That's concerning if you're a Sixers fan.
And they still won. Like, it's just – and MSG is not the greatest home court advantage. Like, Stars
like
love playing there.
Yeah. Not like it used to be.
So, you're a little worried. And, yeah, we talked about Maxey's illness. That could be
maybe.
Bad. Embiid, obviously, after that highlight dunk, oh, my Lord.
Yeah,
that was
ridiculous.
The craziest thing I've ever seen. He collapsed to the floor immediately, though. And you thought for sure he was done. But he somehow came back. Still looks a little slow and a little hobbled. So we'll just have to keep
I
checking
think
on that.
Just the way it's going to be for him. I mean, he's a plus 14 on the floor, best of any player on both teams. And then the game of the night or day, whatever you want to say, was my Lakers or my LeBrons. they had me hyped, man. I'm not going to lie. Like, they were playing really well. LeBron, AD doing their thing, getting anything they wanted. And just kind of seemed like they ran out a bit of gas to start the third quarter. KCP, former Laker, got hot there in the third quarter. I think he hit three or four threes. Still kind of had a chance going into the fourth. Just like I said, ran out of gas. I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, the Nuggets are good, but they just got their number. You know, it's frustrating being a Lakers fan, LeBron fan, you know. But you guys have any thoughts on that game? I'm sure you all watched it.
And the Nuggets are just an engine of a team. They just operate perfectly all the time, it feels like. And, yeah, it's crazy. Anthony Davis, one of the best defenders in the league, is just barbecue chicken to Jokic. Like, it just does not matter. He just pops a shot over him. Easy buckets. Aaron Gordon, skying for dunks. MPJ and Caldwell Pope are hitting threes everywhere. Even Murray had an off game, and like it still felt like his presence was there. Like you said, LeBron played pretty well.
He did.
Anthony Davis played really well. It was just those others for the Lakers that did not step up.
See, Russell, man, I don't know what to do with that man.
He just one for nine from three. That's just inexcusable.
Considering he's about 42-43% from three.
So that gives you a little hope. Maybe he'll have some get-right games, but you need him soon. It's looking like a sweep again. Yeah. It just is.
You're not going to like this.
Uh-oh.
but I got to say it. Got to give you the hard truth.
No, don't say it.
Okay.
The Lakers are not deep enough. They are not tough enough. And they are not good enough to beat Denver in this series. They may get a win still. Hey, they may even get two.
Oh.
But they're not winning this series. There's a lot of people that kept talking. Some national guys, some guys in this room, some guys in this building, who felt like the Lakers were the best matchup for Denver. And game one gave me the full belief that there's no one in the West that can match up with Denver. There's no one probably in the East either. As a Celtics fan, like especially the majority of the East teams, I want to be right and say that the Mavs could still pull this out and get to the finals like I predict. But at the same time, I watched that series, I watched that game one, and I look at what Jokic did, what Murray did. It makes me feel like this is a runaway train to another dynasty. And we're going to have to deal with another dynasty. One has ended. The Warriors are done. Whether you keep Klay there or not, Golden State Warriors dynasty is over.
Yeah.
And I hate seeing that there's going to be another dynasty in the West. But it's looking like that could be potentially what's going to happen. And all I can say is, you know, when it comes down to it, you boys are going to be hoping for my Celtics to be the saviors to keep us away from that dynasty.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
Once
the Lakers
are
out, it's everybody versus Celtics. Well, real quick, we're kind of at the end. We got three games tonight. We got Orlando at Cleveland. Who do you guys like in that one? Cleveland like going up 2-0?
I think Cleveland's going 2-0.
They just match up really well. They're just too good defensively.
You got Philly and the Knicks. What do you guys seen in that one? If Maxey doesn't play, that's Knicks easy, right?
Yeah, I think if Maxey doesn't play, if Maxey does play, I think
it's
Philly
1-1?
Wins that. Yeah, 1-1. Okay. But if he's out, yeah.
And then the big game, Lakers Nuggets 2-0 Denver.
It's got to be. I don't know.
I got to ride with him. I may not know it, but I mean,
to make this
Lakers are up 3 at half. I mean, if D'Lo gives you a little bit of something, I think you can steal one. So I'm going
to
ride with the Lakers tonight.
To win this series, you're going to have to steal one.
You got
to
win one on the road, being, you know, if you're going to have any chance to win a series. So, well, thanks, guys. I mean, that's going to do it for the G.I. Jake Show today. Marcus, thanks, buddy. Jack, thank you for coming in. Appreciate, like I said, all our guests for coming in. Tim, showing off the trophy. I think Jake will be back tomorrow.
Yes.
That's the plan. So we'll be back with you at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Colin Cowherd and the Herd is up next. Stay locked in.